A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. Papal struggles. Now, the church was angry not only at Henry V for his treatment of the Pope, but also at the Pope for so easily giving in to Henry's demands. The following year, a large gathering of bishops formed a church council and nullified Pope Pascal's decisions on the grounds that they had been forced from him. The right of investiture was again stripped from the emperor, and despite Pascal's promise, Henry was excommunicated. It seemed that the only change between Henry IV and Henry V was the Roman numeral at the end of his name. Pascal actively opposed Henry V, and in 1113, he even opened negotiations with the Byzantine emperor Alexius Comnenus at his instigation on his becoming the Holy Roman Emperor as well. Such a move would have reunited the two empires, but it was, of course, not going to happen. Despite the excommunication, Henry had no desire to immediately return to Italy. Germany was still fragmented with disloyal counts and dukes who refused to give Henry much more than nominal authority. The excommunication didn't help matters, but Henry believed that he had struck a coup when a marriage alliance was made between him and Henry I of England. Henry I's daughter Matilda was given to Henry V as his bride. Since Henry I had no legitimate children, though he had many illegitimate ones, Matilda was the heir to the throne. Henry V dreamed of taking England into his sovereign domain and actively tried to support Henry I against France, but troubles at home prevented any real success. With the urging of the Archbishop Albert, a new rebellion broke out and civil war erupted again. The fermentation of unrest by the church was effective, and in 1115, Henry lost Saxony to Lothar of Supplinburg, who became the Duke of Saxony and eventually the next emperor. The apparent loss of Saxony was appeased by the news of the Countess of Matilda's death in Italy. The Countess Matilda had been one of the most staunch supporters of Pope Gregory VII and an enemy to the emperor. She had bequeathed all of her lands to the Pope on her death, but Henry saw the opportunity to seize her powerful lands for himself. Pope Pascal called upon the Normans once again to defend the Papal States, but Urban and Pascal had been too successful in their crusades, and most of the ablest Normans were actually in Palestine. By 1117, Henry V had secured most of the disputed lands and arrived in Rome, where he made Pascal crown his English wife Matilda Holy Roman Empress. The next year, Pope Pascal II died, and the stage was set for a new struggle. The Clementine popes had failed, but there was still much antagonism against the Gregorian popes. Their arrogance and tyranny created many enemies. But for their alliance with the Normans, it is unlikely that the Gregorians could have even ever survived. However, the Normans were now largely in Palestine, and their weakness was evident. When Gelasius II was elected and consecrated, only 3 days after Pascal's death, a Roman nobleman immediately kidnapped him and imprisoned him, but the people still respected the spiritual office. Such behavior could only be tolerated by the emperor, and only him because he had the military might. The city prefect demanded the release of Gelasius, and mobs of citizens were ready to back up the prefect if necessary. Gelasius was released peacefully, and yet no sooner was he released than news of Henry V's coming to Rome sent Gelasius into hiding. When Henry arrived in Rome, he dispatched a letter to Gelasius' colleagues demanding his return and saying he wished only to negotiate a settlement in regards to investiture. Gelasius showed no backbone and refused to budge. He further declared that he would hold his own council, to which Henry was apparently not invited. Henry then appointed an archbishop named Maurice as the new pope, who took the title of Gregory VIII. Gelasius himself tried unsuccessfully to seize Rome and drive out Gregory VIII, but his troops were no match for those of Gregory. Gelasius again retreated and died a feeble old man the next year. When Pope Gelasius died, his supporters elected the son of the Count of Burgundy under the name of Callistus II. Gregory VIII himself had never been able to achieve the backing and support of the people, which itself displayed the lack of respect which Henry V had garnered. In 1118, the German nobles had even ordered Henry to return from Italy or else they'd overthrow his rule. Henry had no choice but to leave. Gregory had clearly been elected as a ploy of Henry. Had Henry commanded more respect, Gregory might have succeeded, but he did not. The Romans themselves were inclined to accept Callistus, even though Gregory held the city. Finally, Gregory was forced to leave for Sutra when he learned that Henry V had betrayed him. Henry, always a politician, realized that Gregory didn't have the support of the people, and he was willing to compromise with Callistus if necessary. This news sent Gregory fleeing, but the army of Callistus besieged the city of Sutri, and the populace, faced with starvation or worse, knew that Henry V wasn't interested in rescuing him. They turned Gregory VIII over to Callistus, who brought him back to Rome for a mock trial. Gregory was paraded around backwards on a camel where the people threw rocks and food at him. After having humiliated Gregory, Callistus had him imprisoned for the rest of his life in a monastery, the prison of popes. Now only Callistus remained. The year was 1120. Not long afterwards, the German princes, tiring of the conflict that had gone on for over 50 years, urged Henry to resolve the situation by compromise. At the instigation of the princes and nobles, a concordat was arranged at Worms in 1122. This concordat agreed that the symbols of spiritual authority, a ring and a crozier, were to be conferred by the Pope, but that the emperor would bestow the scepter as a sign of temporal authority. Furthermore, the ceremony was to take place in the presence of the emperor. This concordat was ratified at the First Lateran Council in early 1123. In a matter of fact, the concordat was little more than a political treaty. It did not explain or clarify exactly what would happen if the emperor and the pope disagreed on the appointment of a particular bishop, though the emperor could object to the election of bishops on certain grounds. Nowhere is the situation fully resolved. For Henry and Callistus, however, it was a symbol that they could work together as they were supposed to. Whether it is a testament to their strength or weakness is a matter of opinion, for neither would live long beyond this. The reign of both hinges upon the concordat. Callistus died in 1124, and Henry V died the following year in 1125. The last of the Franconian emperors. So we're still battling with the business of who's going to pick the bishops, the investiture situation, and it's still not resolved. So we'll see what takes place next. Now the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987-1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.